Well, amen and amen. The gospel is true this morning. It's what we have sung about, and it is a joy to be with each of you this morning, to be back here at Highland Baptist Church. I call it home away from home. It is good to see not only familiar faces as I look out in the crowd, but also new faces, and it just shows that the gospel ministry here in Grove City by Highland Baptist Church is continuing, and we pray for you, and we're encouraged by our partnership, really, over the last several months. It's been a joy to be able to encourage you. I know I send my encouragement and greetings from those that have been here over the last few months, elders that serve our church faithfully at Grace Baptist Church, as well as some that are training for the pastorate. And what I've heard time and time again has been just your encouragement to them, that they have felt welcomed and loved, and it's been a joy. And so we continue to find other ways that we can partner in the gospel work that's going on, not only here, but at Grace Baptist Church. So thankful for you. Well, we're going to continue in our series of the book of Ecclesiastes. So if you have a copy of your word, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to be at the end of chapter 11 and the start of chapter 12 this morning. The author is winding down this book, and prior to the prologue, which I think Zach Bowden will capture next week as you end this book, he's bringing his main point really to a climax, that God is sovereign, he's fully in control, but we can't understand his plan entirely, and there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to satisfy and find true meaning in life. All is vanity. Solomon, who had everything that a person could desire, wealth, power, wisdom, the kingship, would still end in his final days, say, life is fleeting, vanity under the sun. Josh Kira last week talked to you about the struggle that we all have to want to be in control, even when there is so much that we don't understand and so much uncertainty that happens in our life. But releasing that control to a sovereign God, we can have confidence and peace in our Creator God, that He will work all things to your and I's good and for His glory. We seek to be diligent in our work and seek to live faithfully to Him in all that we do. And the preacher or the author of Ecclesiastes will continue that challenge this morning to us as we end this book. So follow along with me as I start in verse 7 of chapter 11. The Word of God says, "Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, When the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped and the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. God, I ask that your word would guide us this morning. Speak, O Lord, that your people may hear, that we would be transformed by your word again this morning. Lord, I pray that you would meet us here this morning, incline our hearts to your testimonies, open up our eyes to see wondrous truths in your word, unite our hearts to fear your name, and satisfy us again this morning with your steadfast love. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. As we seek in the way of wisdom, the preacher encourages us in these final verses to learn to live life under God's sovereignty, knowing that physical death is inevitable, but it's not the end. Our title for this morning's message is Living for Something More. How do we live as believers knowing death is not the end? I want to encourage us, based on our passage this morning, four ways to live the way of wisdom as God sustains our life here on earth. That we live life as a gift. We live life being mindful of the judgment to come. Live life remembering your Creator. And fourth, live life as hope. If I were to further summarize what the preacher is going to share with us this morning, it is to rejoice and remember. Rejoice in your youth and remember your Creator. Let's first look at our first point, live life as a gift. Look again at verse 7 and 8. Life or light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Solomon has already advocated in this book to live responsibly and enjoy life to the fullest. He seeks to provide clear details of what it means to live in wisdom. First, we should count our blessings for the life of God that he has given us. That he has not only chose us, but he has given us purpose. And he desires us to be a part of his grand story. The preacher says here in verse 7 that light is sweet and pleasant. The light that comes from the sun. This light is conveying an idea of life being lived to the fullest. And this is in contrast to this phrase that we continue to hear of life or light under the sun. It makes me think of recent days that we've had because of our winter storms. And we think of these storms. Some of us might love snow, but for me, it's cold, it's dark, it's accumulating over time. And several days after the storm, it's been a blessing, as even I've been reflecting on these verses, that the Lord provides us a little bit of hope with the sun shining, and it's even brighter because of the snow on the ground. The beautiful sunsets that we have seen gives us hope that spring is coming. Or maybe for you, when you read these first two verses, you're thinking of past summer days. You know those days when you wake up beautiful sunrise, and you just know that the temperature is going to be perfect. You're going to enjoy the outdoors, maybe with family and friends. But the reality of that day when you're holding on to every hour because it's such a great day, that the sun is going to set. It's going to end. The point the preacher's making to us this morning is to enjoy God's good creation while under the sun, cherishing the good days that God brings us, keeping eternity in mind. Listen, many believe that the Christian faith is the boring life. It's only guided by a bunch of set of rules that squashes our fun. No, it's a good and faithful Father that's wanting us to live life to the fullest and follow in His ways that we might live the blessed life or the happy life. The author says twice here, rejoice in your youth, for there will come a day that there will be darkness in the shadows of death. The author is reminding us that we're going to have hard, challenging times to come. Or he might be referring here to death itself. See, the light of life is good. Live as a Christian, reminded of the good gift that our Father, that we just sang about in His goodness, has given us. He has given us His goodness in our salvation. That God, who is rich in mercy, did not leave us to ourselves, did not leave us in our sin, separated from God, but sent His Son, fully man and fully God, to live the life that we could not live and die the death that we deserved. That Jesus went to the cross, He died, He was buried, and 3 days later rose again, conquering sin and death and proclaiming who He truly was, that He is the Son of God, and that we can have life in Him, that He is the resurrection and the life. We're also reminded of God's goodness in our sanctification, in growing in Christ-likeness, that God will finish His good work in us, that the good work He started will come into completion on the day of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1:6 says. Our sanctification will eventually turn into glorification when we see His face. And in our fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Spirit, that He guarantees our fellowship one with another, being a part of God's forever family. See, brothers and sisters, these and many other gifts, because of our union with Christ, we get to have the blessing of knowing and the blessing of these gifts. Let us worship even today with the gratitude that God has blessed us with in the gospel. We have seen in this book that life under the sun can also be lived in drudgery and also lived in fear, because life is fleeting and death will come. One of man's greatest fears is death. This is more common for people later in life. When you're young, you feel invincible, and you don't count your days. A horrible tragedy happened this week with 60 passengers plus a flight crew on the American Flight 5342 died in midair, crashing into an Army helicopter. Grace Maxwell was on that plane, a junior mechanical engineering student, flying from Kansas, heading back to school at Cedarville University. Tragic, knowing many on that flight were not ready to die. More of a reason for us to look at that situation and live life every day as a gift. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. Let us steward the day that the Lord has given us today. Later in life, you do start to think about death more. And we have a choice to enjoy life in the present and live for something more than just ourselves. It is good to number our days, the psalmist would say, so that we might have a heart of wisdom. Enjoy the present and don't wish your life away. But also don't stay and dwell in the past, but continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to finish well. Live life every day as a gift, because it doesn't last long, James 4:14 would say. King David would say it this way, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Church family, cultivate a heart of gratitude for the simple joys and the beauty in life, even as we acknowledge its brevity. Let me say that again. Cultivate a heart of gratitude for the simple joys and the beauty in life, even as we acknowledge its brevity. For me, it's a taste of a good cup of coffee, usually made by yours truly. It is a quiet, simple date with my bride, Sarah, who sends her greetings and wishes she could be here, taking advantage of some good food at a Columbus restaurant. It is time communing with my Father in the mornings. The blessing of knowing my shortcomings, but being met with the gospel truth every morning. It is my walks to Cedarville that I do every day. And some days are in the quietness of just me and the Lord, meditating on His Word and praying that He sends sunlight shooting rays across the lake and across our sunrise. We have beautiful sunrises and sunset in Cedarville. That He reminds us that He is declaring His glory in His creation. Whatever it is for you, church, don't miss out on these types of joys that are gifts from the Lord. Let us live less grumbling and complaining and live more as joy setters. We also take caution not to allow the gifts to take the position of the giver and judge who is our God. He should take priority in our lives. And that really hits at our second point this morning. Live life as a gift, but also the preacher would say, live life being mindful of judgment. Look at with me at verse 9. It says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity." Rejoice in your youth. Live life to the fullest. Solomon would say, seize the day, but seek to live responsibly, keeping in mind the judgment that is coming. The preacher cautions the reader in verse 9, saying, if our goal in life is to follow your heart or do whatever your eyes see as good, go for it. But be warned to remember God is our judge. Solomon would say our response should be, as he summarizes his thoughts at the end of this book, fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. And we have similar Old Testament passage that would back up this thought. Numbers 15:39 says, "Remember all the commandments of the Lord, to do them, not to follow after your own heart or your own ways of your eyes, which you are inclined to whore after." Proverbs 23:25 says, Solomon saying, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." How are you reminded of the judgment to come this morning? See, knowing we will stand before the Lord one day, being mindful of eternity to come, helps us live the life with meaning, being aware of how we are to take responsibility for being a faithful spouse, a diligent parent, a church leader who is living above reproach, a respectful student, or a coworker who is seeking to be intentional with the gospel. This reminder of judgment also protects us from the living of a life of escapism. Have you heard the word escapism before? A good definition would be the tendency to seek distraction and relief from unpleasant realities, especially by seeking entertainment or fantasy. You know, it's the vegging out life is what I'm referring to. Being mindful of judgment allows us to live a life, but to avoid sinful, meaningless self-indulgence in sin. We all need to face this and be regularly reminded of the temptation with these things in our pockets, where we can live a life that is not meaningful, but meaningless. Seize the day by being faithful to live for God's glory in all that we do. Judgment can also be a way to wake us up to the responsibility we have as believers. John Piper would say, don't waste your life. Make it count. Seek to be faithful to the very end, that one day that you and I would hear from our Savior, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Judgment also reminds us to live life taking sin seriously. Verse 10 says, remove vexation. This phrase is the idea of removing anger or frustration, not living a life of anxiety. The word pain here in verse 10 is another word for evil. So, translating, therefore, remove evil from your body. To remove vexation and pain from your heart and body points us toward a posture of repentance. Be made right with your Maker before it's too late. Maybe you're here today and slowly swayed from the truth. You've faded away from God's good design for you in the gospel, and you have been living the self-focused life. You live like a church member on Sunday, but other times throughout the week, you're living the self-guided life apart from the giver of life. Instead of living with joy, your default is living a life of frustration, anger, and anxiety. Solomon would say, don't carry this burden any longer. I was listening to the song on the way up here. Would you be free from the burden of sin this morning? Because there's power in the blood. Power in the blood from the Lamb. Because the kindness of the Lord, He has given us repentance to turn back to the one who created us to worship, to restore the brokenness and the pain in our lives that result from sin. Is that where the Lord finds you today? You can turn back to Him today, and you can walk out in freedom because of the gospel this morning. These verses bring to mind the story to me as the prodigal son. The prodigal son was given his inheritance, and he squandered it away in worldly living. But what I love in the Gospel of Mark especially, the turning point of that story is when the prodigal son came to his senses. And what happened next? The loving arms of mercy, the loving arms of his father was there to embrace him. This morning, it's the same for us, that when we come to our senses and turn in repentance and we confess our sins, our God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us turn to Him, to our God. Believers, pursue Him once again, living the faithful life by His grace. Solomon doesn't stop here at the end of chapter 11, but he continues to plead with his readers to turn to God in their youth and do not delay, because life is short and precious. He states to live life remembering their Creator. And this is our third point this morning. Live life remembering our Creator. Follow along with me in chapter 12. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the streets are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of the song are brought low. They are afraid also what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Solomon expands this idea of living life to the fullest and also living responsibly as he focuses on the progression of aging towards death and the end times. This should cause us this morning to remember our Creator, church family, because the days are evil. What a timely statement for where we find ourselves in society today. The preacher would say, live life with a sense of urgency. To remember our Creator is to submit to Him and His commands, to trust in His promises and walk with Him together as His people. It is so easy for our idol-producing hearts to take good things in our lives and make it the most important thing. Take, for example, our families. I don't know about you, but I have blinked my eye and I have my oldest daughter just a few years away from being out of the house, and I have three others soon to follow. If I'm not careful, my family becomes the most important thing in my life because the time is fleeting. This is exactly what was happening in the Garden of Eden, church. Solomon has pointed us back where it all started in the book of Genesis, in the creation story. There's so much that Solomon has reminded us about the life in the book of Ecclesiastes, about relationships, about pleasure, wisdom, and evil. God created everything good to be enjoyed while worshiping Him, for He alone is worthy of our worship. He is jealous for us, and the primary reason we were created is to worship. But in these chapters of Genesis, we see that man broke God's good design, not remembering the Creator. And it was because of sin, leading to elevate the created above the Creator, that caused our separation from God. Sin has led us to elevate the gift above the giver, the created above the Creator. So we remember our Creator this morning while we still have time to turn away from our idolatry, renew our faith in Him, and worship our God, who is the giver and sustainer of life. When I think of this challenge from the preacher to remember our Creator, I think of planting a tree. When is the best time to plant a tree? One's response might be 20 years ago. What is the second best time to plant a tree? The answer should be today. Let me talk to you young ones for a moment this morning. And when I say young, I'm not just saying teenagers. I'm saying 20s and 30s, those that still have vibrant of life. When I'm seeing youth here in the scriptures, I'm talking about you. Young people, remember your Creator in your youth. Don't wait to follow Jesus later in life. Make your faith your own today. If you nurture your relationship with God earlier in life, the gift of faithful living for many years to come will bear fruit. Don't let others look down on you in your youth, but follow Jesus with love, purity, faith, and fervor. The Lord desires to use you in a mighty way. You have value to the kingdom for what God wants to do. He has a godly purpose for you. I pray for Jordan most weeks, and I will continue to pray for his ministry and those that are impacted in his ministry, that God would do something amazing in this church, would revive this church, and it would start in our youth and those that have fervor and that have many years to seek to be faithful. A life centered on Christ now will influence others and will protect you from many bad decisions that you would otherwise make. Solomon not only tells us that life is short and to remember our Creator, but he uses the end of this book to actually describe, detail out the process of death, the process of aging, that in some level we're all a part of that journey. In a way, it's to prepare us for what we are or walking through in the process of aging that is hard, painful, and maybe sometimes feeling hopeless. I think the author also is speaking to what we walk through as believers in the end time. Some of the language here, verse 2 through 5, is apocalyptic in nature. In summary, what Solomon is saying is whether we die a painful death or the Lord returns, be made right with God today and live for Him. Solomon describes the process of aging in verse 2 through 5 this way. We see phrases like before the sun, the light, the moon, and the stars are darkened. That's talking about when death is inevitable. And the clouds return after the rain. It could be talking about a loss of vision or mental capacity. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble. As we age, our extremities especially start to tremor. This is an ironic statement. And strong men are bent. It's the bending of the back. Once a strong man, now weak because of aging. The grinders cease because they are few. This is the loss of teeth. Very hard to chew. Those who look through the windows are dim and the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, losing our eyesight, losing our hearing, but we can still hear the birds in the morning that wake us up at 4:30 in the morning. Am I getting to anybody out there that's really following along and living this life out itself? All the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid of what is high, and terrors are in the way. Anxiety is at all-time highs. You're fearful of heights. The almond tree blossoms. The gray hair and white hair is setting in. The grasshopper drags itself along. The reality is this morning, as soon as we're done, we're going to have youth bouncing all across this auditorium and running, right? That's the grasshopper we used to be, some of us. But now we're the grasshopper that drags itself along and desire fails. Even our drive, not only sexually, but just personally, starts to fail because man is going to his eternal home. Why does Solomon detail this out? I think it's to wrestle with the reality that we are all dying. We can't be in control, and we're dependent on the Lord to help us to finish well. Solomon would want us to remember the hope that we have, not just in this life, but the life to come, that we have it in Christ as we endure to the very end. He would say, live with hope and finish well, church. Leave a legacy that carries on well past your earthly time. And that this is where I really want us to focus over these last few minutes. that Solomon the preacher is reminding us to live life with hope. Look at verse 6 through 8. Before the silver cord is snapped and the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Life today is not guaranteed. It is fragile and precious in God's sight. So live with hope, knowing this is not the end. Here in verse 6 through 8, after the description of the process of aging, he really lays out the finality of death. The cord snaps, the bowl breaks, the pitcher shatters, the light of life has went out, and the water is dried up. All the instruments to draw water has deteriorated, and death is on the doorstep. We will return to dust the way that we are originally created. Before the silver cord snaps, the golden bowl breaks, and the pitcher shatters, commit your life to Jesus and put your hope in Christ alone for your security and your salvation. While you have life, know without a doubt that your spirit will return to God. Amen? Family of God, live today with eternity in view. Live with hope. Without God, life is meaningless, verse 8 would say. But with God, we live with eternal purpose. Live this life, for He alone is worthy. If you have not placed your faith in Jesus alone to save you, today is the day of salvation. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. We repent and turn to Jesus today by faith. May He be your living hope. Let me end by asking you to stand, and we're going to do something a little different. Go ahead and stand with me. As I was preparing for this sermon and thinking of this last point, I was reminded of a way that we could remind each other this morning of our hope by reciting the question and answer of the first statement of the New City Catechism. It will be on the screen for us to say together. Question number one, so go ahead and say it with me. What is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Go ahead and remain standing. Let me read to you Romans 14, 7 and 8. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. May this be our anthem. May this be our testimony to a watching world. And may this be the legacy we live behind. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for your word this morning that is so clear to us wherever we are found. If we're young or if we're in our last days, there is a challenge and an encouragement for us this morning to continue to live the faithful life. Lord, I am so thankful for the gospel that we can hold to. God, when we feel like there's an anxiousness among us, when we feel life is hard and suffering is hard to endure, God, may we grasp and cling to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in Him. May we not only live for ourselves, but we would live for something more today. May we look and examine our own hearts this morning. God, if we are stuck in our meaningless ways of life, would we repent and turn to you, God, because you have purpose and meaning for our lives today. Wherever this word this morning finds us, God, would you do your work in your people for your glory? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.